Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. We're currently on our summer schedule and won't be producing new podcast episodes for you over the summer. Rather than leaving you shorthanded, we'll be publishing a series of talks given at our Rise Up conference. This week's talk is by Lisa Canning, and the topic is Dominion from Sea to Sea. This talk was given at Rise Up 2017 here in Ottawa. If you have any questions about evangelization, you can email us at podcast@cco.ca. To learn more about Rise Up, visit cco.ca/riseup. All right, let's get to the talk.
I have a fun question for you. Would anyone here be excited if they maybe met their future spouse at Rise Up? Of really understanding what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be a child of God, and what it means to kind of be here, and what my purpose and what my mission is here on earth. So I went to Rise Up in Toronto in 2004. You can get my cute little slide for you to see. And in 2004 is where I started to kind of feel like, okay, Josh, like, I really need to get to know him better. There's something kind of special about him. If you ask him, he says that I'm stalking him in the hallways. But it is very debatable who was stalking who. And then I attended Rise Up in 2006 in Quebec City, and there is where I realized that marriage was our true path. So I want to share with you, young Lisa and Josh, a fun little throwback down memory lane. There we are. Awesome, cute. We have been married for 10 years, believe it or not. Here's a picture of our family now. We've got 6 kids with 1 on the way. Yes, it is impossible to have 7 children in 10 years. So if we can throw up the picture of my kids, I'd love that. Stop looking at young Lisa and Josh. It's coming, I promise, it's coming. So our kids are ages 8, 7, 5, 4, I have to literally think about it, 2, 1, and then baby's coming in the summer. I don't even know. That's on our 10th wedding anniversary that we just celebrated on December 8th of this past year. Love to tell you that our journey looked like the next slide, if you will, a very linear pattern of us rise up in 2004, 2006 to this nice straight line to where we are today. Instead, this is what it looked like. Chaos and mess, and simply, honestly, a kind of crazy adventure, but also one with quite a bit of pain. So what I want to share with you in the minutes ahead is really why I believe in my story of meeting Josh, in my story of having a whole bunch of kids, in my story of being married for 10 years and running a business at the same time, that the most important thing is to trust God with your plan. The theme of this conference is dominion from sea to sea. And so what I want to encourage us to think about now is how can we give God greater dominion over every aspect of our life. How can we give God greater dominion over every aspect of our life? And there are 3 reasons why I think we should do this. The first reason is that he has a plan. Okay, so I'm an interior designer, as you have heard, and I love to plan, let me tell you. It gives me so much joy to come into somebody's house and be like, change that, that's ugly, do that, there's the backsplash, there's the thing. And I would say, most of the time, people are really excited. I think my portfolio speaks, I think my experience doing production design for TV speaks for itself. I want to show you a couple before and afters just for fun. So here's, just for fun, so here is, the picture of my kitchen. So my kitchen was totally crazy. It was a 1950s falling apart
big well in the middle, and then, dun-da-da-da, we went to there. Aren't they fun? I love before and after. Our living room, if you will, looked like this. Note the light is held up by duct tape. I do not recommend that one hold the light up. It is dangerous to hold the light up by tape. But there's a there. And then we went like this. Ta-da! So I have great fun creating transformations and creating plans. My career has brought me to do things that are kind of fun, like working with the Property Brothers. And I have a cute picture. There we go. And then being on shows like the Marilyn Dennis Show, The Goods. If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, feel free to whip out your phone and do it right now. Because you can follow along the crazy journeys that I go on in running my interior design business with my soon-to-be seven children in tow. But sometimes I get a client who's, you know, not so willing to take all of my advice. I get a client who's kind of like, Lisa, I like the plan, but I don't like any of it. And they'll say things like this. They'll say things like, oh my gosh, you want me to put that sofa in my living room? No way I could do that. Or they'll say things like, oh my gosh, like, you want a light fixture right here in the middle of the space, even though it makes total sense because you need light, guys. And they'll say things like, that's just not going to work for me. Or I might suggest something crazy and bold and like super fun, kind of like my sweater, like really bold and exciting. And they're like, that is way outside my comfort zone. But what I wish they all knew is how invested, and I certainly explain this with a lot of empathy, a lot of love. I very patiently explain. I get it. It's hard to visualize a room. I work with a lot of people who literally can't visualize things. So I totally understand. But what I wish they would understand is how invested I am in their home, how invested I am in their life, that the plan that I'm going to create, the plan that I am going to create is going to give them a future that's going to be awesome. I kind of wish they would just do this. Just trust me, right? Now, when I was in university, and sorry, did anyone go to my alma mater, Ryerson? Yeah. Fun fact, I was a Ryerson cheerleader. Go Rams, go. Go Rams, go. Go Rams, go. We came second at nationals. It was very exciting. I think it was the only time we went to nationals. But we still came second. And honestly, university to me looked like this. I was so confused. I had one foot over here with the cheerleaders, and I was like, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. I was going to parties with them. And then I had one foot over here as a fashion communications grad student, where I was doing things like interning at Flair magazine and going to fashion week events and, you know, feeling kind of lost in that world, like liking it, but also feeling super lost and super not part of it. And then I was over here with chaplaincy and going to Rise Up. Like I said, I went to two Rise Ups in university. And I kind of felt like I just wish that somebody would come along, kind of like a fairy godmother, and wave the wand and just say, here's the plan for your life. In the same way that I come into a person's home and I wave my magic wand, here's your plan. Here's the incredible thing. God is the ultimate designer. God's plan for your life is the best plan. God knows what is going to be the best for your life. God knows what's going to set you up for success. God knows what is going to be beautiful and exciting. And it might not make sense to you at the time. You might be like, God, this doesn't make sense. God, I don't want to do this. God, this is way outside of my comfort zone. But he has the best plan. And how do we know this? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans for a future full of hope. If you want to take a picture of that just so you have it so you don't have to forget it later, that is how we know that he has the best plans. But of course, following it and being open to it can be really difficult. So when I was in university again, towards the end of my schooling, we were getting married. We got married in 2007. And I love to plan, right? So when we got married, let me tell you, every single detail of my wedding was super fun. Like, and this was before Pinterest existed. If Pinterest existed when I got married, I think I would have died. So I planned everything. I planned how the cake looked. I planned how all the accessories looked. We had a marquee on the top there of our venue. It was super fun. I planned what our life was going to look like as newlyweds. I planned it all. But what I did not plan was what happened to us right after we got married. So what you can see in this photo is what? Happy Lisa and Josh, 23 and 27-year-old Lisa and Josh. But what you can't really see is there is a lump in my throat. And it was enough of a concern that my doctor was like, go on your honeymoon, but go and get it ultrasound as soon as you get back. And it was enough of a concern, this lump, for the ultrasound technician that she was like, you got to go get a biopsy. And this lump was enough of a concern for the biopsy technician that I was referred to an oncologist and I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. We went from having plans, so many plans, so many orchestrated, architected, designed plans, and in an instant, with a diagnosis, having to just throw up our hands and completely surrender. When you get married, you promise to love that person in sickness and in health and all these things. And all of a sudden, within literally a month of our wedding, we were faced with mortality. And this was not in our plans. But here's what's remarkable about this whole situation. That I believe that it set us up for the future. At the time, did I feel this way? No. At the time, was I screaming at God and being like, I don't get it? Why is this part of the plan? And I became the skeptic. I became the skeptic who said, God, thyroid cancer, this just won't work for me. God, thyroid cancer and radiation? Mm-mm. Radiation is way outside my comfort zone. And God, putting all my plans on hold, all of my very carefully calculated plans, there is no way I'm going to do that. What do you think God wanted me to hear from him? Trust me. God desires us to trust him. And that is why I believe the first reason why we have to give God greater dominion over every aspect of our life is because he has a plan. Reason number two is that he is a father who can be trusted. The word dominion can sound kind of scary. It can kind of sound like dominate or control. And again, I like to plan. I don't like to let go of my plan. So that word can be kind of difficult. But there's so much evidence that we can trust him. And so for anybody who really loves evidence and truth-seeking, this part of my talk is for you. Because there's three things that I want to just share with you real quick. Number one, we read it in Scripture. We see it in the lives of others. And then I want to tell you about my personal experience. So feel free to snap a picture of this so you can look at it later. We read this in Scripture, Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which one of you will hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you then who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Isaiah 41:10, do not fear. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And Matthew, this is the lost sheep. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the lost? It is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost. We have a Father. we can trust. If this is not enough empirical evidence, let's go to the lives of the saints, because there's some pretty incredible stories. So first, St. John of the Cross, in the mid-1500s, he was taking care of all these poor people. His brothers were coming to him saying, we have no more food for tomorrow, so what are we going to do? Okay? And he says to God, or he says to his brothers, leave to God the care of providing food. Tomorrow is far enough off. He will be able to take care of us. And lo and behold, they went to bed with no supplies. In the morning, a very generous benefactor showed up with a wagon full of things. Let's go to the next story. Blessed Anne Marie Javouhe, in the early 1800s, she was taking care of a bunch of orphans, and she was saying to God, like, please, 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 maybe I've been a bit zealous, maybe I've worked against your will, I don't know, but we have no more food, we have no more money, don't blame this on the kids, like, just please, please, please help me, blame it on me. And she recorded that God said, why have you come here to express your doubts? Have you no faith in me? Have I ever disappointed you? Her dad was extremely opposed to her whole notion of taking in all these children. And the next morning, he shows up with a wagon full of supplies saying, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here's all the stuff for the kids. And finally, this one's a good one. Francis de Sales, do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same loving Father who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then, and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginings. That is it right there. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. And if we go to the next slide, this is like a funny little infographic of the trials I've had in my life. So we started with the cross, if you will, of cancer, and just our plans being completely obliterated and having to just surrender completely. And I really do believe God started our marriage that way so that we would be completely equipped to handle everything else that came. I'm going to tell you very soon about, that's a briefcase, by the way, lunchbox, briefcase. My tension and balance of career and family, I'm going to share with you a very personal story momentarily, was a huge cross for us in our marriage, in our relationship before getting married. And I believe that God really, like, just that whole notion of he will either shield you from the suffering, or he will give you the strength to bear it. I believe that's so 100%. And then finally, I just thought this was so funny, 7 babies! 7 babies! Let me tell you again, do the math. In 10 years, I've had 7 children. It's possible, just in case you were wondering. But of course, it comes with some logistical challenges. It comes with all kinds of challenges. But we trust that his plan is the best plan, and that he is a father that can be trusted, and we are not afraid. The third reason why I believe that we should give God greater dominion over every aspect of our lives is because he knows you better than you know yourself. So as I mentioned, I went to Rise Up in Quebec in 2006, my husband was also there, and that year was a particularly difficult year for us. I was so excited when he proposed in February of that year, but I wouldn't set a date. And it was very strange, to be honest. Josh couldn't understand what was going on. And I continued to make excuses. Like in February, it was exams, so I was just like, I just got to get through exams, and then we talk about a wedding date. And then a month later, when exams was over, I'd be like, oh, I'm just working on this like crazy, crazy big project. It's worth like half my mark. Can we just talk about when we're going to get married after that? And I just kept making excuses, like after excuses, after excuses. And my darling fiancé was so confused. He was starting to question, like, what's the deal here? Like, I know you want to be with me. I want to be with you, but why won't you commit to a date? And I was very embarrassed to admit, I guess, we can go on to the next slide. I was a little embarrassed to admit, and I really didn't want to even admit it to myself. But so much of not setting a wedding date was wrapped up in my confusion about career and family. And if you could do it both. At that time, the story that I told myself about marriage was that that was what you did once you had a career. That's what you did when you were established. That's what you did when you were secure. That's what you did when you had money in the bank. And so I was so confused because I had met this guy. He was amazing. I knew that God had intended us to be together. So many things made that evidence true. But I couldn't reconcile how to, you know, what to do with my feelings and my ambitions and my drive and my excitement about being an entrepreneur and going into design. And I couldn't figure out how you reconcile that with being married and starting a family. This caused incredible tension for my husband and I. Incredible tension that I really wasn't sure we were going to overcome. And so I walked into that rise up with just so much weight on my shoulders. I was asking, why, God, why? What do you want me to do? I'm so tired, Lord. I am so tired of not knowing what the path is ahead of me. I am so tired of feeling like confused and that I'm letting people down. I'm so tired of being so concerned with what other people think of me. That's what was so wrapped up in my head about career. I was so worried about what other people were thinking of me. There is so many things that we can place our identity on. Identity can be placed on what we do for a living, the title we hold, the kind of car we drive, you know, where we live, our fancy address, all these things. There's so many places that we can place our identity. But where's the place that we should truly place it? So adoration happens at Rise Up. It's in a couple days. And adoration, if you're not familiar, is our Lord, very real, and you spend some time in prayer. And I can remember it so clearly. It was a room just like this, several hundreds of people all around me. The lights were dark. There was a big spotlight on our Lord. The worship band was playing. And I just remember I got down on my knees and I had my hands in the air and I said, God, just take this weight from me. Show me what I'm supposed to do and I will do it. Help me be the person that you've called me to be, the person I'm supposed to be for Josh. God, just tell me. Tell me. And I honestly, like, I remember it so clearly. There was all this music and all these people, but it felt like I was just me in the room. And it's like I felt God place a hand on my shoulder and his lips close to my ear. And he said, the most important thing you will ever do is be a wife and mom. The most important thing you will ever do is be a wife and mom. And I remember the feeling I had of getting up and feeling like weights had just been lifted off of my shoulders. And what God would reveal to me later in a process was that just because I had career ambitions didn't mean that I couldn't mix those with a family. Just because I had passions and desires, they weren't bad things. If God has given you passions and desires, if you're sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, she's really speaking to my heart. She's just in my head and I'm so confused about my career. What I want you to know is that God has the best plan. He is a father that can be trusted and he knows you better than you know yourself. And just super quick, what I learned And this is a whole other talk that we're not going to be able to, unfortunately, have time today. But if you want to talk about this with me, I could talk about this for hours. When you trust his will and you are obedient to his plan, the grace comes. And his plan is more revealed and his plan gets clearer. When you trust in his will and you are obedient to his plan, the grace will come and the clarity will come. My dear friends, mes amis, so exciting. If we can go to the next slide. Here's the other interesting thing. Jeremiah 29:11, like I said, you know the plans I have, he says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for woe, plans for a future full of hope. But what I think sometimes gets almost forgotten or glossed over is what comes immediately after. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. I sat in a room with hundreds of other people just like you. And I heard the voice of God when it mattered most. And I'm confident to say that this next picture, plus one baby, would not exist if I had not listened, if I had not called out to him, if I had then not listened and said, yes, Lord, yes, it doesn't make sense to me. It's outside of my comfort zone. You know, there's no way that's going to work, but I'm going to trust you anyways. And that is my hope and my prayer as we journey together in the next 5 days of Rise Up, that you just ask God, and maybe you can just do it right now. Nothing big, just right now. Where is some place, what is something in your life that you need to give God greater dominion over? What is something in your life right now, sitting here in this chair, in this exact setting, listening to my voice? What is something you need to let go of control and let God in?
Thanks for tuning in this week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. This will help us to reach more people with the good news. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.